Welcome to Disinformation Wars, a project of the American Foreign Policy Council. I'm AFPC Senior Vice President Ilan Berman. Disinformation Wars is a series of conversations with officials, experts, and practitioners designed to take you behind the scenes of the struggle for hearts and minds of global publics that's now taking place around the world. It's a contest being waged by Russia, China, Iran, and other actors, and the stakes could not be any higher.
In mid-March, Israel's Channel 14 television station broke what amounts to a bombshell story. The government of Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, the news outlet detailed, had begun construction on a housing cooperative that was designed specifically for detainees. That is, for extremists who had been apprehended by the Israeli security forces and had served time in Israeli prisons. This so-called Prisoners Project is intended to provide lavish freestanding homes to militants who had served out a minimum of a half a decade behind bars because they had carried out attacks on Israeli citizens and Israeli soldiers. It was a potentially huge story, not least because the U.S. has for years tried to reverse pay to slay, the cynical policy by which the Palestinian Authority rewards militancy against Israel, even as it continues to collect U.S. taxpayer dollars. But it probably would have passed largely unnoticed amid the regular media scrum surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict if it wasn't for a group called Honest Reporting, an up-and-coming media outlet that's dedicated to ensuring truth and balance in the news coverage surrounding Israel and Middle Eastern politics. Over the weeks that followed, Honest Reporting's coverage helped to popularize and shed light on the Prisoners Project story across social media, in the press, and injected into conversations about the Middle East that were taking place on Capitol Hill. As it happens, the head of Honest Reporting is an old dear friend of mine, Jackie Alexander. And the story gave me an excuse to catch up with her to talk about her work, her vision for the organization that she helms, and how her team's making a difference on the ground in Israel and the Palestinian territories. Hey, Jackie. Great to talk to you.
Hey, Ilan. Thanks for having me.
All right. For starters, tell us a little bit about Honest Reporting. Because although the organization's been around for a few years, you only took over as CEO last fall, and you've proceeded to give it quite the facelift. So I'm curious, what's your vision here, and what are you trying to accomplish?
So Honest Reporting is a media watchdog company. We expose anti-Israel bias in the media, and we've been around since the Second Intifada, which is around the time that the popularity and demands of a 24-hour news cycle really started changing the way that current events were reported on. That's when immediacy took prominence over accuracy. So what defined us in our early years is what continues to define us today: calling out, contextualizing, and correcting anti-Israel media bias. You know, if you think about how the media typically responds to terrorist attacks in Israel specifically, they make excuses for why the terrorist attacks happen. It's because someone was in the wrong place. It was victim blaming. There's a reason Jews are being murdered. And ultimately, they become complicit in perpetuating the violence. And we see that both for Jews in Israel, or tourists in Israel, quite frankly, anyone in Israel, as well as Jews in the diaspora. And we saw it when CNN interviewed Rabbi Leo D. As you remember, his wife and two daughters were brutally murdered in a terrorist attack. CNN profiles the tragic deaths of these women and ends the segment by saying that the audience would hear similar stories from the other side. So I took a look at what those similar stories were. They were excerpts from a documentary produced by Roger Waters about a new Banksy hotel in Bethlehem. I mean, there isn't even moral equivalence there between terrorist and victim. That's saying that Palestinian self-identification is the same thing as three women being brutally murdered. So our ability to comment, call out, contextualize, and quite frankly, speak directly with the news publisher and the media publisher about why this is horrific and why they need to not do something like that, that's what defined us before. That's what will continue to define us now. Where we've grown and adapted, specifically in the last couple of months, is in the sphere of social media and in the way that we understand the impact of our work. I hear so often how you can't find positive information about Israel, or you can't find the truth about what's going on in Israel. And honestly, there's so much good information out there. There's quality articles, there's research, but it's impossible to find. And more importantly, it's really hard to digest. So where Honest Reporting has really taken a turn and where we've been seeing successes is identifying the most common, the most frequent malicious accusations about Israel, and then distilling a response that's simple. Jews love to complicate things because context matters and nuance matters, but you can't answer a soundbite with a dissertation. specifically not if you want to attract the attention of millennials and Gen Z.
So is this strategy working in a practical sense? How are you guys moving the needle on coverage of Israel? How are you trying to? And how is what you're doing different from the way other organizations that operate in this space have traditionally moved around?
So it's been less than a year, but we've seen incredible successes, specifically on the social media front, but not only. Before we get to social media, just in terms of the core work of what we do, which is the research, the exposés, our articles are being republished by more quality news sites than we've seen in the past. Our executive director, Gil Hoffman, is frequently asked to address stories about Israel, not only on outlets like BBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera, but quite frankly, across the region, even into the Caribbean. So our ability to reach beyond the base and beyond the choir has absolutely skyrocketed. And if you look at how that plays out on social media, in just the first quarter of 2023, we reached four times the amount of people than we did in the entirety of 2022. But as you know, a lie can travel halfway around the world before the truth gets out of bed. So we don't only focus on correcting the media. We have a Jerusalem Press Center, which is the only full-time, independent, non-government funded team working to engage foreign journalists that are based in Israel in a systematic and meaningful way. So what does that mean? We provide briefings. We provide access to sources. We organize and arrange field tours for journalists to go beyond the headlines and understand the nuance of breaking news. Over the last few months, we've led seven group and private tours just to Nablus and Jenin. Journalists don't always have either the language or the connection to be able to go into essentially a war zone and meet with civilians that they can interview, meet with some of the military leaders or the terrorist leaders who are engaging in the violence and perpetuating the violence, and then especially not to hear all of that within the context of Israeli security. So our team is able to produce that and introduce the balance and context into stories that journalists want to be writing about anyway. And on that front, we've seen significant successes because there are journalists who have historically been absolutely terrible on Israel-related reporting that produce eminently more balanced articles after participating in our tours. And they want to participate in the tours, again, because we're providing them a service that they would not otherwise have access to. Unfortunately, there's no shortage of bias, both intentional and not. So again, the core of what we're doing is after the fact. Once we provide the context to the journalist to get the story right the first time, we're holding them accountable after the fact. And under Gil's leadership, we've started approaching the editorial work from a different angle. It's not enough to only expose and address the bias, but to understand where it's coming from. So since August, our editorial team has identified numerous journalists whose impartiality is the nicest way to say was compromised. And we brought those names and our sources and our evidence to light. And in six of those cases, media publishers like the New York Times and Reuters were so outraged by what we had exposed that they cut their ties with those individuals. There are other instances, like one we identified a few weeks ago with CNN, where the journalist in question was not penalized for it, was not punished for it. And CNN's response was that they were an exceptional value add to the team. So my question is, why is my team able to find this out about journalists that you're working with? What's your vetting process for the people that you're hiring? And more importantly, when you're not taking action, when these instances come to life, what's your responsibility for transparency and disclosure towards your audience?
So you come from the advocacy world because you worked at APAC, the America-Israel Public Affairs Committee, for quite a few years before you made the jump over to Honest Reporting. But the mission set here at your current job is much different, right? It isn't so much about advocating for Israel as to make sure a balanced story is being told. Is that about it?
Yeah, that's about right. I will say that on some level, we're all advocates, right? We are providing information to make a case, to inspire someone to take action. But in the traditional sense of the word, Honest Reporting is not an advocacy organization because we aren't pushing an agenda. We're providing facts. We are holding the fourth pillar of democracy, which is journalism, accountable to their own ethical standards. you know, there's so much misinformation out there, and it doesn't happen by accident either. It's very purposeful. And so much of what we're seeing today, specifically online, are blatant lies, so easily disprovable. Unfortunately, too few people are armed with the facts. Honest Reporting wants to be the organization that not only provides those facts, but provides them in a way that is easily digestible, easily shareable, and empowers people to use them.
The Prisoners Project that I referenced in my intro is a big story, and kudos to you guys for helping to amplify it and to disseminate it in a much broader fashion than it otherwise would have spread, because it really deserves to be widely known, but it's not really an anomaly. There are lots of things that are happening in the Israeli-Palestinian arena that don't fit neatly into the traditional way that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is covered. Can you talk about some other examples and talk about also how you guys are changing those optics in a tangible sense?
So Honest Reporting's office is based in the heart of Jerusalem, and our staff, except for me, lives in Israel. They are living this reality every single day. So much of what we write is influenced by the day-to-day realities that we see and that we live. So for example, anyone who's been to Jerusalem recently has seen the light rail that runs through the city. A couple of years ago, the BBC produced a documentary that focused on Jerusalem's light rail, presenting it as a form of occupation that destroys the lives of Palestinians in Eastern Jerusalem. But I've taken that light rail to work, and so does the majority of the staff. And we've seen every single demographic of Jerusalemite using that light rail to get to their jobs in different parts of the cities. Jew, Muslim, Israeli, Arab, secular, religious, everyone is using it peacefully as they are fully entitled to as residents of the city. So part of our job is to call out the media when they reduce the situation in Israel to a zero-sum black and white picture where the reality is far more nuanced. Another good example is checkpoints. I'm sure you've seen circulating on social media these horrible pictures of really long lines and, you know, looks like people are standing in cages. I don't know about you, but I've been traveling a lot recently, and TSA has gotten fantastic. I used to wait in crazy lines. You would get off of an international flight, and it could take you 2 hours to get through passport control and customs and everything. I breeze through it now because there have been upgrades in the past few years. The same thing has happened for these checkpoints, which, remember, are a form of border control, and most importantly, has been the biggest factor, including the separation barrier, in terms of stopping terrorist attacks on Israeli civilians. So by living in Israel, our ability to, number one, recognize that this is not the real story when you're talking about checkpoints, but also visit Kalandia, record what it actually looks like now, and then publicize, amplify, disseminate, and expose that, gives us a leg up in terms of how we're able to address issues. And then another example is the presentation of settlers and settlements. It's not Honest Reporting's job to promote Israeli government policies, but it's our duty to make sure that the binary way they are presented is challenged. I mentioned Rabbi D earlier. His family was murdered on a specific highway in the West Bank. But it's a highway that our team has driven on, not because they're settlers or live beyond the green line, but because it's a main thoroughfare when traveling from Jerusalem to other locales. And it's not a highway in the traditional sense of the word. It's a road, and it goes through the center of a Palestinian town. Now, technically, Israel can build another road that bypasses the town to make travel safer, but can you imagine the press if there was a Jews-only road that was to be built in that area? So our ability, number one, to understand the exact geography of what's being talked about, what the practicalities of using that road are, and then produce articles and social media content that calls out this appalling narrative, sets us apart from others who are doing this from abroad who aren't living there day to day.
So those are really, I think, eloquent examples and profound ones of how it's necessary to contextualize the broader story. But they really, all or most of them, focus on the Palestinians. And the Palestinians are just part of the story here, because what we have is an Israel that's evolving in terms of its policy and its place in the region against the backdrop of some pretty profound changes. Over the last 2.5 years, Israel's normalized its ties with the United Arab Emirates and with Bahrain and with Morocco. And there are more potential partners like Saudi Arabia that could very well be waiting in the wings. So I'm curious, how has that shift changed things in terms of how Israel and how Israeli politics are being covered, both here at home and abroad? And how are you seeing that shift? Are you seeing that shift?
15 years ago, you and I were discussing how Iran was represented in the political world, because it was conventional wisdom that you could not deal with the threat of Iran without solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict first. And you and I both know that that was and is wildly incorrect. And largely, that conventional wisdom has been turned on its head. The Abraham Accords does the same thing in terms of normalization with other Arab countries. This past month during Ramadan, you had the potential for the media and the press and the diplomatic issues to spiral out of control and cause a tear with other Abraham Accords countries. But you largely didn't see that coming out of those countries, diplomats and press. It was mainly Qatar and their propaganda arm, Al Jazeera, and Jordan. Practically, with respect to the Palestinians, they have always relied on publicity to generate support and outrage. With less coverage, and that's not entirely as a result of the Abraham Accords, it's civil wars in the region. The Ukraine war had a huge impact on the number of journalists who were stationed in Israel and covering this topic. About 50% of the foreign journalists based in Israel ended up going to Europe to cover Ukraine, not to mention what's going on with Iran. You've seen that the Palestinians have had to shift their tactics to increase the amount of incitement on social media channels and fringe anti-Israel media outlets, which is where Honest Reporting has also had to shift some of its focus, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, so finally, let's end with the current and very turbulent state of Israeli politics. If the listeners have been keeping track of what's happening there, like you and I have, they know that the country has been embroiled for a number of months now in a massive and frankly, massively destabilizing internal dispute over a planned overhaul of the judiciary. That debate has pitted the Israeli political left against the Israeli political right, the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu against his domestic political opponents, and candidly, pretty much everyone against everyone else. I was just in Israel, and I can tell you firsthand that what's happening there is the most profound civil crisis that that country has experienced in its 75-year history. All of which I recognize has to be a challenge for anyone who's reporting on Israel, and it makes your job immensely difficult, but also immensely important because you guys are on the front lines of helping reporters make sense of an immensely complex situation. How are you setting about doing that?
If you take a look at America's 75th anniversary, you're looking at a country on the brink of a civil war, series of weak leaders and a Supreme Court that's about to issue the infamous Dred Scott decision. France, 75 years after their independence from the monarchy, was on the brink of a Franco-Prussian war that would end with Napoleon III in exile. So in terms of how countries develop in the generations after the founding fathers are gone, Israel seems to be right on track. And compared to the current protests about the retirement age in France, Israel's approach to this has actually been a celebration of democracy, where the protesters were able to not only make their voices heard, but the government responded and slowed down and stopped passing the legislation that was being opposed. You have a situation in Israel that needs addressing, but the process and the conversation has become so politicized and, of course, somewhat tainted by Prime Minister Netanyahu's own personal issues. And from a professional standpoint, I am thrilled to announce that it is not my job nor the job of Honest Reporting to defend or promote one side or the other. Our role is to contextualize the situation and to ensure that it's being reported on responsibly. There have been so many articles and broadcasts that have tried to make this about something it's not. So our role in this has been to hold the press accountable to getting their facts straight and to then take that information to social media in the form of infographics and videos, again, that just distill the information in an easily digestible way, so that the people who aren't necessarily following this as closely as you and I are, have a way to understand what's happening and what's not happening. And then going back to our press center that tries to deal with a lot of this stuff proactively, we've been holding briefings for journalists for the last couple of months to hear directly from both sides, to get to ask the questions in a balanced way, to get responses from both sides, to understand where the parties agree, where they diverge, and where they see a path forward. And if the last, I believe, 17 weeks have taught us anything, it's that you're now hearing from both sides, or I should say three sides, the far left, the far right, and the center, saying a change has to be made. We understand that. We need to find a path forward. On some of our most extreme demands, we recognize we're extreme and we shouldn't have necessarily included this, but something needs to happen to bring us all to the table. And I guess the real question is, what's going to happen over the summer when this is meant to come to pass once again, whether this was just a delay tactic or whether this was a sincere move by the Prime Minister to find a way to bring everyone back together. And Honest Reporting is going to be watching closely to make sure that when the story is presented to the public, it's presented in a way that deals in facts and not in fiction.
All right, let's end it there. Jackie, as always, wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This was a lot of fun. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you for tuning in to Disinformation Wars. To learn more about the American Foreign Policy Council and our work on public diplomacy, visit us online at www.afpc.org. And, as always, we hope you'll join us again next time.